If you'd like, you can be turning to the Gospel of John, chapter 10. We're going to look at some of the verses in chapter 10. We'll do like David, we'll go as far as we can go. All of this actually begins in chapter 9. And chapter 9 and chapter 10 go together. Sometimes because of headings and chapter breaks, we don't realize that. But if you look closely, what happens in chapter 9, he's answering in chapter 10. In chapter 9, we find him in the temple, and he is healing a man who has been blind since birth, okay? You would think that was a good thing. But the Pharisees do not think that's a good thing because he did it on the Sabbath. If you go through the Gospels, you will see over and over that he's at the temple, okay? Now, I think he goes there for several reasons. Number one, I think that even as a child, the temple was important to him. At age 12, remember, he went to the temple. His parents left him. 3 days later, where did they find him? In the temple. And when Mary speaks to him, he said, "Didn't you know that I must be about my Father's work?" So the temple means something to him. To him, it means the Father. To the Jews, it meant where God resided. Now, I understand God does not reside in a temple. God's everywhere. But the focus of the temple was that was where God was in the holiest of holies. So I think that's the first reason that he goes. The second reason is that's where the people are. Okay? If you want to talk to a bunch of people, that's where you would go, to the temple. Because there were always people there. People came from different countries. They came from all over Galilee and Judea. Because that's where the sacrifices were made. So Jesus is quite often at the temple, and obviously he is preaching at the temple. So in chapter 9, there's a man that has been blind since birth, and Jesus heals him. But the Sadducees are upset because he heals this man on the Sabbath. Now, after healing the man, he leaves. The man is left there, and he's called in by the leadership of the Jewish nation, and they question him about his being not blind anymore. And who did it? Well, Jesus already walked away. The Pharisees, these are the ones that we would probably say had their doctorates in the Hebrew text. They had gone to school for years. They knew the Hebrew text, what we call the Old Testament, backward and forward. Okay? Now, when Moses went up on the mountain, we always think of the Ten Commandments, right? Well, actually, there's about 613 commandments. And those commandments dealt with everything. The Ten Commandments are the moral commandments. But the rest of the commandments had to do with daily lifestyle. It had to do with building the tabernacle, what to put in the tabernacle, who would preside at the tabernacle. So it was moral, it was religious, but it was also government. Because the government, as far as the Jews were concerned, were interlocked with the spiritual. So the spiritual leaders, the Sanhedrin, the 70, and the Pharisees, they determined what the law was, what the law was not. And so not only the 613 laws, then they had come up with laws of their own. Okay, because they would say, well, what does it mean that you're not supposed to work on the Sabbath? What is work? Okay, so then they detailed exactly what work was. Well, you can't walk but a certain amount. Okay, of course, they got around that because if you would leave something from your household when you got to the end there, that's considered your house again, so you could walk that distance again. So it was weird. But they had not only the 613, they had their own laws they had come up with. Now, you would think, or I would think, hey, it's a good thing to heal this guy. I don't care what day it is. Okay, that's a good thing. Well, they didn't think that. Okay, that's work. You cannot heal somebody on the Sabbath. That's work. So that's what's preceding all of this. And then Jesus later is going to get in a discussion with them. So beginning with chapter 10 and verse 1, it says, truly, truly, I say to you. Okay? So look at that. And the commentaries say that also in the Greek means amen. But my idea is what he's saying is, listen carefully, focus. I've got something to say, and you need to hear it. So when he says, truly, truly, that's what we should do. We should concentrate on what he's going to say. Truly, truly, I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs in by another way, that man is a thief and a robber. Now, hadn't noticed this. I listened to two different preachers on YouTube about this. And if you really look at it, he breaks it down three times. Because the first time he talks about he is the good shepherd. And the second time, he is the gatekeeper. So he's doing it over and over and over. He's just making different points as he does that. But he starts out with talking about the shepherd and the sheepfold. Now, I'm not a shepherd, don't have any sheep, but they tell me that what they did was there would be some kind of enclosure at night, and they would bring all the sheep in, okay? Not just one shepherd, but several shepherds would bring the sheep in, okay? And they would stay in the pen that night for protection. So he says, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs in by another way, that man is a thief and a robber. Now, he's talking about the Pharisees. Okay? He's going to say, I'm the good shepherd. I love my sheep. I take care of my sheep. My sheep know me. But then there's other guys that are coming in the sheepfold, and they're not coming through the door, and they want to steal. They want to steal my sheep. Verse 2 says, but he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. Only the true shepherd enters by the door. He's also making another point, which John has made over and over and over in the Gospel of John. John's whole idea for the Gospel of John was that God came to earth as a man, died on the cross, rose for our salvation. That's what the Gospel of John is all about. And if you go through the Gospels, you'll find the word belief or believe 17 times. You have to believe in Jesus Christ if you want to go to heaven. And John hits this over and over and over. Well, Jesus is actually doing the same thing here. But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the gatekeeper opens. Okay? Somebody's guarding the gate. They said that sometimes even the shepherd would sleep there. Okay? Or one of the shepherds would sleep there to protect the sheep. Okay? His followers is what he's talking about. The blind guy believed, right? He's one of the sheep. Also, in later on in this chapter, he's going to say, I got other sheep. In verse 16, he says, and I have other sheep that are not of this fold. Who's he talking about? He's talking about me. He's talking about you. Okay? Jesus is a Jew. The sheep he's talking about there are the sheep at that day and time, they would have been Jews. But he says, I got other sheep. I got other sheep. That's us, the Gentiles, who were brought in later. Where did I drop off? To him the gatekeeper opens. The sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. I think that's a beautiful thought. God knows you by name if you're one of his sheep. Okay? And you should know his voice. You should know the Lord's voice. Well, how do you know the Lord's voice? Well, you know it through this. Okay? We know the Lord's voice. We are one of his sheep. We are one of his followers. But I think what I like about it is he knows me by name. He knows you by name. A stranger they will not follow. He said they know me by voice. Now here's another thing they said about the sheepfold. You might have three, four, five different shepherds and their sheep. They're all in one pen. So in the morning, what happens? The shepherd's ready to take out his sheep. He calls his sheep. And they know his voice. So they will follow that particular shepherd out. Another shepherd would call his sheep. They would follow him out. So he's saying that his sheep know his voice. They know who they are. And all through the Gospels, we find that a lot of times it will say that there was a division. Some believed, some didn't believe. Those that believe, they are his sheep. A stranger they will not follow, but they will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of the stranger. This figure of speech Jesus used with them, but they did not understand what he was saying. Now, a lot of times they didn't understand. I think a lot of times they didn't understand because they didn't want to understand. Okay? They just didn't want to. Why would they want to hear Jesus? Jesus is taking their sheep away. The people that had been following them, had been listening to them, they're now going to Jesus. Well, they don't want to lose their power, their prestige, their money. You remember when Jesus overturned the money changers and got the sheep and all out of there? Do you think the people that ran that temple didn't get a part of that money? I'll bet you they did. So he's going against all that. So they don't want to hear. They don't want to listen. They don't want to become one of his sheep. So Jesus again said to them, truly, truly, I say to you, see, he's starting all over the same thing. Only he's going to change it. I am the door of the sheep. All who come before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not listen to them. Who are the thieves and robbers? Who came before Jesus? The leaders of the Jewish nation, the Sanhedrin, the Pharisees, okay? And he's saying, I am the door of the sheep. All who came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. But you got to go through the door, and Jesus is the door. There's a lot of people that say, well, there's a lot of ways to get to heaven. No, there's not a lot of ways to get to heaven. There's one way to get to heaven. I am the truth and life. No one comes to the Father except through me. That's what Jesus said. Over and over in John, he says the same thing. He just says it in a different way. Here he's saying, if you want to get in, you got to come through the door, and I am the door. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundant. Now, one of the commentaries says, and maybe it's true, the thief he's talking about here is the devil, Satan. Satan comes to kill, steal, and destroy. He says, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for his sheep. They don't know what he's talking about. In hindsight, we know exactly what he's talking about. He is going to lay down his life for us, his sheep. He who is a hired hand and not a shepherd and does not own the sheep sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees, and the wolf snatches them is a hired hand. No, the wolf snatches them and scatters them. Okay. He says the guy that's being paid to watch the sheep, they're not his sheep. You know, if it gets too dangerous, he's going to leave. He's not going to care for the sheep. He's getting paid. The shepherd, he cares for the sheep. He lays down his life for the sheep. He flees because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me, just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. Again, he's talking about the crucifixion. He knows what's going to happen. He knows that he's going to die. He knows that he's going to lay down his life for us. And that's when he says, and I have other sheep that are not of this fold. I must bring them also, and they will listen to my voice, so there will be one flock, one shepherd. You know, when the church first started at Pentecost, and in the first century, for a number of years, the only people in the church were Jews. That was it. You were a Jew. They kind of thought of, they called it the Way, as another sect of the Jewish nation, a religion. Okay, so, and they weren't going to let anybody else in because they were the promised people. They were God's chosen. So, they weren't going to let the Gentiles in. So, the next people that come in are Samaritans. Okay, there's a story about Acts 8 or 9, something like that, where the Samaritans are brought in. And then, in chapter 10, Cornelius, who's a Roman soldier, who is a Gentile, is brought into the church. And what does he say when they're brought in? So there will be one flock and one shepherd. Whether you're Jew or Gentile now, there's one flock. There's one body. Unfortunately, we've tried to split it up with the denominations. But as far as God is concerned, there is one body. One body. For this reason, the Father loves me, because I lay down my own life that I may take it up again. He also knows that not only will he die for our sins, but he will rise again. And he says, and I may take it up again. He had a choice to die, but in essence, he seems to me, he's saying that he raised himself. Well, he's God. God raised him. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down, and I have authority to take it up again. This charge I have received from my Father. You know, I was reading another book, and it's about angels. I read all the time. I got about four books going at the same time. But anyway, this was about angels. You know, when Jesus was on the cross, he could have called the angels to get him off that cross if he wanted to. He chose not to do that. He chose not to do that. Our choice is to believe. But we also need to be doing something else. I was listening to a sermon this morning, and do we really care about the lost? And if we do, what are we doing about it? Okay, now I know here we go out in the community, reach, and we bring in the kids. That's a great thing. That is a great work. I'm sure the Lord is pleased with that. And in my prayer, I pray that these young people will become to know the Lord because of the Reach program. Okay, but what do we do on an individual basis? You don't have to be a preacher, and you don't have to be a teacher, but you ought to be sharing the gospel. Now, remember what I started out with at first, your example. That's one way. Your example, what they see in you. You know, I had a guy come to me one night, and I may have told you this piece. He said, you don't cuss. That meant something to him. You don't cuss. Now, we were at the pool hall, okay? Everybody here knows I go to the pool hall. Man, he came to me and said, you don't cuss. He had watched me, and they watched me down there. They just want me to make a mistake. But I think that's interesting. It's what you do. It's how you react with people, okay? You can bring the gospel that away because you got people that will come to you and ask questions. I was hoping to have a couple here this morning. I went to the other night and gave them my card and invited them to church, okay? I was cutting up with them. They were smooching over there, and I went over there. I said, now, you know that's going to get you in trouble. And the man said, well, we've been married 25 years, so I started a conversation with him. Before it was over, I gave him a card, and I invited him to church. And if I see him again, I'm asking why they're not here. Anyway, back to the lesson. There was again a division among the Jews because of these words. Many of them said, he has a demon and is insane. Why listen to him? Others said, these are not the words of one who is oppressed by a demon. Can a demon open the eyes of the blind? Well, I'll go a little bit further. 22. At this time, the feast of dedication took place at Jerusalem. It was winter, and Jesus was walking in the temple. He's in the temple again. In the colonnade of Solomon. So the Jews gathered around him and said to him, how long will you keep us in suspense? If you are the Christ, tell us plainly. Jesus answered them, I told you, you do not believe. Over and over and over and over again, they're trying to trick him. They want him to proclaim that he is God. Because if they can get him to say that, that's blaspheming. And if you blaspheme, the penalty for that is death by stoning. So that's what they're trying to do. They're trying to trick him and get him to say that. And guess what? He's going to say it. I'd always thought as I was coming up that he never told who he was. That's not true. In John, he does it over and over and over again. In about the fifth chapter, he has five witnesses to show that who he is. Himself, God, John the Baptist, Moses, and he goes through all those witnesses. Anyway, he says, I told you, you're just not listening. The works that I do in my Father's name bear witness about me. He's talking about the miracles that he's performing. The blind see, the lame walk, the dead rise. But you do not believe because you are not among my sheep. Well, he's going back to his sheep. He's already talked to him about the sheep. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life. That's a promise, folks. If we are among the Lord's sheep, we are promised eternal life. And they will never perish. And no one will snatch them out of my hand. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of the Father's hand. I and the Father are one. That's what they've been waiting for. What he's saying is, I'm God. I'm God. The Jews picked up stones again to stone him. Jesus answered them, I have shown you many good works from the Father. For which of them are you going to stone me? The Jews answered, it is not for good works that we are going to stone you, but for blaspheming, because you, being a man, make yourself God. Jesus answered them, is it not written in your law, I said, you are gods? If you call them gods to whom the word of God came, and scripture cannot be broken, do you say of him whom the Father consecrated and sent into the world, you are blaspheming because I said, I am the Son of God? Your son would have loved this, Rich, because what he's doing is it's a rabbinical debate, okay? Jesus knows the scriptures as well as they do. And so he uses the scriptures against them. And the Jews, those we're talking about, the Pharisees and all, they would sit around and debate the law all the time. You know, when they asked Jesus what's the greatest commandment, they're thinking of the 613, okay? Which one of the 613 is the greatest commandment? Well, he tells them, love the Lord thy God with all the heart, with all the soul, with all the strength. And the second is likened to that, love thy neighbor as thyself. Okay. So they do this all the time. But what he does is he uses the law against them. They still want to stone him. They're getting ready to stone him, and he walks away. He just walks away. Now, I don't know how he does it. I mean, they're around him. I also heard one of the sermons I listened to. The guy said, where'd rocks come from? He said, there are no rocks in the temple. There are no rocks in the temple. They had to bring the rocks in with them. They knew what they wanted to do. They wanted to stone him, so they just brought the rocks with them. Maybe that's so, maybe it's not. I don't know. But it's a good thought. I like that. But anyway, he walks on out. I'm going to stop there. John is a great book. If you haven't studied it, you really need to study it. We studied it on Sunday night a while ago. But every time I look at it, I see something different. I learn something else, but that's the same way with all of the scriptures. I don't care how old you are, you can learn the scriptures and learn from the scriptures. And if you're not coming on Sunday night and not working in Reach, then I invite you to the class. We've got several people in there. We've got Matt and Papa and Randolph and I don't know who. We got a lot of folks in there that know the scriptures, and we have a really good time discussing them. My sheep know my name. So the question is, are you one of the sheep? Okay. And we know probably almost everybody here is one of the Lord's sheep. But if not, and you would like to become a follower of the Lord, then this is the time we set aside to do that. Maybe you have something in your life that you would like us to pray for. I know Dawn asked us to pray during Sunday school. She's having to make certain decisions in her life about her work and all. Not bad stuff, she said, but I've always told people, and I say it over and over, I can't pray for a specific thing in your life unless you tell me about it. There's just no way. I know Judy sends around the emails about people that need in prayer. Okay, well, I'd stop immediately and have a prayer, or put them on my prayer list. But if you've got something you want us to pray about, or something you in your life that you feel you need help with, this is the time. Matt.